Hello and welcome to Press TV's News Analysis, coming to you from Tehran. Thanks so much for joining us. Well, another Iranian election with another massive turnout. This in the midst of renewed pressure from many Western countries and added sanctions. Now, the significance of the people's participation in all aspects of Iranian society, and especially in the political arena, has always been eye-catching. A 64% participation by the people during parliamentary elections is definitely a sign of a people determined to decide their own destiny and another vote for the Islamic Republic.
Friday's vote was the ninth parliamentary election since the victory of Iran's Islamic Revolution in 1979. More than 3,300 candidates vied for 290 seats in parliament. Some 48 million Iranians were eligible to vote. Voters across the country formed long lines to cast their ballots.
I participated in the elections and I saw a good turnout of people, which was eye-catching. Especially in the final hours.
Some Iranians even braved snowstorms to take part in the elections. According to officials, almost 65% of eligible voters cast their ballots nationwide. The voter turnout was higher than that in the previous parliamentary elections back in 2008. The high turnout is believed to have thwarted escalating Western pressure and media propaganda against Iran. Washington and its allies have imposed what they call crippling economic sanctions against Iran. The US and Israel have even threatened to launch a military strike. However, Iranians from every walk of life went to the polls in defiance of the Western pressure.
What brought me here? I want to show our enemies that we are here because we love this country and we do anything, I mean anything, to protect here. And we've been faced lots of problems, social problems, economical problems, but we've survived and we will. And when it comes to Iran, we are all together.
The latest vote is also seen as a sign of people's loyalty to the establishment. But in the past 3 decades, the Iranian nation has faced various political and economic pressures from the West, but have stood by their Islamic revolution. Many believe that Friday's parliamentary vote was a strong message for the enemies of Iran.
Iranian people go to the polling stations and take part in the elections to respond to the foreign enemies or escalating pressures against their country.
They view the high voter turnout as yet another proof that the Western pressures against Iran have backfired and made Iranians even more loyal to the Islamic establishment.
Well, I'd like to welcome my guests to the program from Beirut, Professor, University of Tehran, and Mr. Mohammed Marandi. From San Antonio, Texas, former U.S. Senate candidate Mr. Mark Dankoff. And from London, Middle East expert, Mr. Christopher Walker. Welcome all of my guests to the program. And also, we'd like to welcome Press TV's correspondent, Saman Khujuri, who is joining us. I'm going to start off with Saman. Now, you know, we have had different situations coming in. I've been monitoring the media's reaction today and dealing with the elections. And interestingly enough, what a lot of them are saying was that the polling centers in Tehran was basically empty, and that these reports of the turnout, high turnout, just cannot be verified. So, man, I asked you to come on because you were on the ground yesterday and dealing with various different centers, polling stations. Tell me what you saw yesterday on the ground.
Well, Marzia, pictures cannot tell lie. Well, yesterday we all watched different pictures from different cities and towns all across the country coming in and being broadcast not just on Press TV but also different channels, media outlets, and also even the Western media outlets they themselves broadcast parts of what we saw yesterday on the election day, March 2nd, the 9th parliamentary elections. Well, most of the time yesterday I was here at the Interior Ministry, but during the intervals I got the chance to go to some of the polling stations nearby outside the Interior Ministry to see from close distance how would be the turnout of the people in order to be informative enough and to be informed enough so that I can update the viewers much more better than Before. I went there and I myself watched enthusiastic presence of people from different walks of life. All were there in full force, and they were all at the ballot boxes and the polling stations all across the country to cast their ballot because they want to have a share in choosing and determining their own fate in the future. Well, aside from all these observations to which I myself had experience, even independent sources confirmed the high turnout of people of Iran on the election day, and this is something that can easily be found on the internet or elsewhere. Okay. Many articles have so far been written on that, and many acknowledgments and news pieces have been read and written on that. So
right,
it is Saman, quite easy. So aside from all these,
I won't keep you any longer because I know that you've had a long day and very tired. Thanks so much for that update. Now let me turn to the guests for this program, Professor Marandi. Let me start with you. 64%, more than 64% participation, and this in parliamentary elections is exceptional. And now, despite all the different types of pressure that has been exerted on the Iranian people since the revolution back in 1979, the pressure by foreign governments, the people still come out time and time again in mass supporting the Islamic Republic. What do you attribute this to? How is this happening? And tell me about the psyche of the Iranian people that we continue to see this in mass participation.
Well, I think there are numerous reasons. One is obviously that the elections are meaningful in Iran, contrary to what we often hear in the West. If elections were not meaningful, there would be very little incentive for people to participate. Perhaps a segment of society would do so out of responsibility, but you do see enthusiasm in people in high numbers, debates and discussions among people as to who to choose and who are the better candidates. So it's a meaningful election. And not only because there are a diversity of candidates among different principalist organizations and factions and coalitions, but reformists participated, as we saw in Tehran, and also independents, especially in the provinces. Independents have a very important role to play, and local politics are very important. And also the importance of parliament and the role that it plays in Iran, in Iranian politics, as a part of the whole checks and balances process. So I think this proves the fact that a lot of what we hear regularly here in the Western media is completely untrue. On the other hand, I think the fact that Western countries are constantly trying to delegitimize the Iranian political order, the political system, in the eyes of their own people, to justify their brutal actions, their inhuman embargoes and sanctions, the fact that Western regimes, the American regime, the British regime, and others are trying to, through imposing an embargo on the Iranian Central Bank, actually prevent ordinary Iranians from importing grain or wheat or rice.
Right.
I think shows how inhuman these politicians are.
Okay.
But the very fact that they do this, they delegitimize Iran in order to justify these actions, and I think part of the reason why there is such a large turnout, it was as a response to the Western media and Western governments. It's interesting, just one final point, okay, to note that in congressional elections in the United States, the last one, the turnout was something like 37%, and in Iran, 65%. Really means that it has a much higher legitimacy.
Right. Yeah. Well,
if you look at it from that perspective.
Definitely. I wanted to get on to that actually later on a little bit. Let me turn back to San Antonio, Texas, Mr. Dankoff. Now, in some of the, again, monitoring some of the media leading in their coverage on Iran election by saying not fair nor free, and then they continued with their story. However, some of these same entities, not that long ago, said that they were extremely encouraged with the so-called elections, one-man election in Yemen, which we know was absolutely no election at all. Why the difference? What exactly is going on?
I think you can pretty much tell the difference in terms of what it is that Israel wants and what the Western multinational corporations want. Primary example of this, Ron Campias had an article recently in the Jewish Telegraphic Agency, which was reproduced by the Jerusalem Post, talking about the fact that this pro-Israel element in the United States was behind the effort to get the Mujahideen-e-Khalq, or People's Holy Warriors, delisted by the American State Department as a terrorist organization. And when we continue to read in this article, we discover that there was a group called the Global Initiative for Democracy that sponsored this gathering of these major Israeli lobby figures in the American government, and these American governmental figures with clear links to Israel and to Netanyahu's war lobby. This is not an accident, and I think it's a microcosm of the larger problem that we come to when we start looking at all of the influence that Israel has in the Western media and the number of these global institutes for democracy of various kinds operating under various guises, including the National Endowment for Democracy, that are little more than conduits for Israel and the Western multinationals to try and co-opt the local political scene wherever it takes place around the globe, mm-hmm. and to manipulate it in a direction that is serving the usual political purposes.
Okay, well, Mr. Walker, what about that, what our guests in Texas just said as far as the Israeli influence? Is it the Israeli influence, or is it something else? We see, for example, Iran, although it holds elections all the time, it is labeled a dictatorship. And then we have dictatorial monarchies, such as the regime in Bahrain or in Saudi Arabia, that, of course, is simply hailed. How can, in this day and age, 2012, how can reality be so twisted around that when everyone knows, for example, Saudi Arabia and what is going on there, that it can be hailed as a symbol of progress? What exactly is going on in your perspective?
Well, I think it's sheer double standards and hypocrisy. And it's interesting to say, how in 2012 can this sort of myth be perpetrated? I think very much that because it is 2012 and because the media is so much more global, it can't be. We all know what's happening in Bahrain. We watched on our screens as Saudi armored cars built in Britain thundered across the causeway to put down that particular popular demonstration. So it's becoming more and more difficult to peddle these stories. But I'm convinced that as well as the influence of Israeli lobbies and such like, there is this feeling in the West that they do not like. It ruins their storyline, as it were, if the Islamic world can combine Islam with a form of democracy that patently works. I don't think really any Western TV station today can really say that those scenes of intense voting, even in snowy weather in Iran, were completely made up. Of course, there will be stories about repressed candidates who were not able to appear and such like. But nevertheless, the sheer weight of numbers, and I think also what's terribly significant is indeed the turnout of 64%, because that is a very respectable voting majority, but not a ludicrous majority like we used to have. I lived in Egypt when Mubarak was in power. He never seemed to win an election by less than 99.1%. And this was ridiculous. So people were just couldn't take that seriously. But they can't really ridicule 64%. In fact, as one of your earlier commentators pointed out, it's slightly higher than there have been in some leading Western elections. In fact, I believe Mrs. Thatcher was elected totally by less than 50% of the British electorate. So it's a very interesting result, and I think it's going to rebound beyond today and beyond the streets of Tehran and beyond the boundaries of Iran in its effects.
Well, exactly. Next question, actually talking about rebounding and elsewhere besides just Iran. Let's look at that, Professor Marandi. What type of effect, if any, does an election like was held in Iran, could it have on these regional revolutions that are still in the position of transitioning? Do you think that Iran can serve as an example of possibilities for these governments or these people that are still struggling to really set up total independent governments?
Well, I think it definitely can be an example, and it can have an influence, although each country with its own cultural and religious and social qualities will find their own way forward. But there's no doubt that people will be looking at the results and the high turnout in Iran, and they will see that, contrary to Western media propaganda and the claims made by Western governments, that the Iranian the Islamic Republic has a large amount of legitimacy and indeed has achieved a lot over the last three decades, thus making people vote in large numbers. I think that it is also impressive to people to see that despite the sanctions and despite the embargoes and despite all the injustices on the Iranian people and the attitudes and of Western governments towards Iran, that the Iranians are still a resilient nation, strong and independent, with an independent foreign policy, and a strong economy and a sound economic base. I also think another thing is important here, and that is that after the presidential elections and the claims that were made with regards to fraud by the losing candidates, we all know that there was no evidence forthcoming, and people in Iran were convinced that there was really no evidence that fraud existed. But Western regimes used these claims to delegitimize Iran in the eyes of their own people for the sake of increasing sanctions, but also they tried to delegitimize Iran in the eyes of the people, of the Muslim people and other people in the non-Western world. But I think that the extremely high turnout in these elections show that, in fact, ordinary Iranians accept not only the legitimacy of the system, but the quality of the elections and the authenticity of the election results in the country, thus proving that these claims were not only false, but that these claims are basically acceptable only in Western countries. Even the fact that the former president, Mr. Khatami, participated itself reinforces this, because if President Khatami or Mr. Rafsanjani, those who opposed Mr. Ahmadinejad, if they didn't believe that the electoral process was foolproof, they wouldn't have voted again.
Okay. So, well, I'm almost out of time. Let me turn back to San Antonio.
Sure.
Sorry, Professor Marandi. Now, Mark Dankoff, as an American here in Iran, I have to say one thing that I have found interesting in looking at the Iranian people, it seems the sophistication of the electorate and the how informed they are, and even children. You will be able to get in lively discussions during elections. Even kids will have an opinion about what is going on politically. We touched on a little bit earlier about the low turnout in elections in the United States. What do you attribute this to? Why the difference? Why is there such a low turnout? Not only a low turnout in the United States, but it almost seems the political apathy.
I think this has been growing in the United States since the assassination of John F. Kennedy and Robert F. Kennedy and Martin Luther King. It's increased in the wake of the Vietnam War and Watergate and all of the events of more recent years. I think the average American that pays any attention at all to the political process understands the corruption that governs the corporate money that finances American elections. The average American who thinks at all has come to the conclusion that the same forces that I've alluded to earlier that have been trashing Iran internationally are the same forces who have a disproportionate influence and control of the American news media, which, as far as I'm concerned, is basically in a symbiotic relationship with the Israeli lobby, with the international central banking community, and with multinational corporations.
And on that note, I'm so sorry, but we are out of time. Thank you so much, Mr. Mohammed Marandi from Beirut, Mark Dankoff from San Antonio, Texas, and Christopher Walker from London. And as always, viewers, we'd like to thank you for being with us for another news analysis. Join us right here, same time, same place tomorrow for another top look at one of tomorrow's headline stories. I'm Marzia Hashimi, signing off for myself and all the crew right here in Tehran. Thanks so much for being with us, and goodbye.